Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Das Tfila, number 67. This is, we will finish, Mirtz Hashem, the third chapter tonight. Wow. And hopefully next week we'll be in Eretz Yisrael, so we won't have Shir, but we'll see. Okay, here we go. So we're just basically summarizing and getting to the next, and giving us a little introduction for the next part. We've discussed in the first chapter, we went through the different words that are used for tefillah, and we tried to understand them. And then he sort of took us on a journey. In the second chapter, we looked at the opinion of the Jerusalem Talmud, that the three prayers every day are patterned after the three time zones, so to speak, morning, afternoon, and night. But he told us it's much more than morning, afternoon, and night. Morning, afternoon, and night represent different ways of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramchal told us that whether it's light outside or dark is a way of us signaling to us how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Morning is about chesed, lahagid baboker chazdecha. At night, it's a hester panim, etc. So that was the second chapter. The third chapter, which we're going to finish tonight, Emirtz Hashem, is he went into the first opinion in the Babylonian Talmud, that the three prayers are established by the three avos. And the fourth chapter, which we'll Emirtz Hashem get to when we meet next, is about the other opinion in the Gemara, which is that the tfilos are keneged the korbanos, keneged the tmidin. But tonight we're going to finish up our discussion of the avos. Shachris mincha v'arvis. Im ne'ilas ha'ma'aracha. With the conclusion of this section. Shachris mincha v'arvis. Shloshes ha'tfilos shehur shulanu ha'avos ha'kadoshim. The three tfilos which are handed down to us as a Yerusha from our holy fathers, makifos hein be'inyanam, edmidos ha'hanhaga shel borei ha'borei yisbarach. They include all the different ways of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Sometimes he relates to the world with chesed, sometimes he relates to the world with din, and sometimes he relates to the world in hester panim. So midas ha'hanhaga shel borei yisbarach, ve'es kol gavone hayachas, Shel hanivra bifnoso el haborei. Gavane is colors, different shades. It also reflects all the different ways. The avos gave us all of the different ways that we can use to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the different ways that a person can perceive Hashem relating to us, and all the different ways we can relate to Him. Avoseinu HaKadoshim, our holy forefathers, and this is again what made them forefathers. It's not that biologically they were our ancestors. It's that they opened up these very important channels. That's what each one of them did. Salalu lanu, solu solu panu derech, like we say in the Haftorah for Yom Kippur. They leveled out the path. Lifnot el haborei yitbarach. They leveled out. They created the original paths to turn to Hashem. Mikol matzav shebo nimtza adam. For every single situation, any situation that a person might be in. So yes, they created a prayer for the morning and a prayer for the afternoon and a prayer for the evening. But more important than that, they created a prayer for finding God in the mornings of our life, the afternoons of our life, and the evenings of our life. Bein im hu bishat ha'arat panim shel chesed. Whether it's a time that we feel that Hashem is showering chesed upon us, umushpat alav rov tova, and we're getting such great blessing from Him, o chalila b'matzav shel hester panim b'yisurim, or chalila at a time when it's hard to see what He's doing and we're suffering, hashra'a shel emuna b'cheshkas hagolus v'tzukos hayagon, or a time where we simply need to rely on our faith in the darkness of the exile and the peaks of our pain, of our difficulty, of our angst. Ubitachon shemitoch cheshkazu yivaka or HaYeshua. And the faith that from this difficult time, this darkness, will come the Yeshua. Right? So again, those three times a day, the three avos lived three different kinds of lives, had three different kinds of relationships with Hashem, and they give us paths, opportunities to connect with Him no matter what's going on. Yachas shel kirva lebore, mikol matzav ubechol keta shel zman mecheye adam. That's such a beautiful sentence. A way to connect to Hashem, a way to find God in every situation, no matter what is going on, in every piece of time in our lives. Now again, one could be cynical and say, hey, this is not fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to relate to Him no matter what He's doing to you. But that's the truth. At a time of good, we have the opportunity to thank. At a time of difficulty, we have the opportunity to either accept or perhaps to plead. And at a time of darkness, at a time of galus, we have the opportunity to seek Him out, to believe. So for every single age, not just that for every season He created a thing, but for everything that happens in our lives, it doesn't really matter. It's just a different opportunity. It's a different way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether we're having a good day or a bad day or a day that we're not feeling godly, a day we're feeling godly, none of these things mean we should be connecting more or less to Hashem. They're just asking us to choose a different mode to connect to Hashem. Right? I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I get what I want, then I activate one switch. I pray to God and I don't get what I want, it activates a different switch of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But everything and every situation in our life should drive us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a compartmentalized life, where God is in only one place or in one aspect of our life or one part of our life. They're just different opportunities to connect with Him. And remember that we suggested that this is really all based on the same idea as the Jewish calendar. Right? We're not a religion of happiness or sadness or fear. There's a menu. There's a menu. Our life, the Jewish year is filled with fast days and feast days, right? Days of feeling distant and days of feeling close. And the same thing is true with the goings on of our life, the different times of our life. When we're children, we have one avoda. When we're adults, we have a different avoda. When we're aging, we have a different avoda. It's just a question of figuring out, what is my connection to Hashem now? What is my connection to Hashem now? Of course, we feel, we know, we believe. That's really all we're here for. There's nothing that happens to us that isn't an invitation to try to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu further. And this is what we get from the Avos. We get this idea that I need to be nimble. I need to be able to turn on the different ways I can connect to Hashem depending on what's going on. Hashra'ah ha-meromemes v'hama'aleh t'adam. They tried to show us, how do we take, the purpose of prayer is not to exit my daily life. It's not simply to pretend that there's nothing around me. The purpose of prayer is to be able to use whatever is going on around me to create a deeper bond with God. And it answers one of the basic questions. Again, why, if the purpose of person was to connect to God, then why put us down here? Why not just leave us in a blank, dark space, a black space, and we just have to talk to Him? Why have this whole life that's going on around us that's distracting us from connecting to Him? The answer is, it's not supposed to distract us. It's supposed to lead us back to Him. It's supposed to inspire us. It's supposed to connect us. It's supposed to use everything, every bracha that we make, every challenge that we have, every bracha that we have, every one of these is another chance to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umatziloso mishkia b'inyani hachomer. And it saves us. Right? If it wasn't for prayer, we wouldn't know very well how to connect the world, this world, the materialism of this world, the ups and downs of this world. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift because prayer can apply to every single situation. No matter what is going on down here, there is a prayer for it. Do you ever look at the beginning of the Mitzudah Tehillim where it says, for this, say these Tehillim. For this, say these. It's not magic. It's not a magic thing. But what was given to us was a tradition that there's a prayer for everything that happens. There's a prayer for going to the bathroom. There's a prayer for the rain falling. There's a prayer for everything, good, bad. There's a techina for everything. Each one of these should be a different opportunity to connect to Hashem. And that's what saves us. That's what saves us. Umatziloso mishkia b'inyani achomer. Emuna b'kocha shel tefila l'shanot hagzera. The belief that prayer can change our fate. Ulahashbis ma'arechas atev teva. And can overcome nature. Ulaboka'a al yedei neis meito Hashem. And can lead to a neis. Not only, he says, does tefila give us a chance to use everything that happens in our life and connect it to Hashem, but it also reminds us that prayer is more real than life. Prayer is more real than life. If prayer can overcome nature, then it reminds us, every time we pray, we remember that the world is not what it seems. It's not as real as it seems. It's not as material as it seems. If prayer, we said from the very beginning of this Sefer, the whole idea of prayer is that words can change realities. Till very recently, when we started to understand that through computers in a certain kind of way, there's no such thing that words, actions can change reality. Powerful people. But how can talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu change reality? By reminding us that the reality is not as real as it seems. Not as real as it seems. I'm not suggesting, I know we're going back to some movies, I'm not suggesting that anyone watch the new Matrix movie that's out. But the premise, and I didn't watch it, and I'm not going to watch it, because at a certain point I realized you shouldn't really watch these movies. But the premise of the Matrix movie, let me tell you what the premise of the movie is. The premise of the movie is that the world is not as real as it seems. That it's just not as real. What you think is real, what you see in front of you, is not real if you remember that it's not real. It's a fascinating idea of a movie. There's a point in the first movie where they shoot at this character and he puts up his hand and the bullets stop. And it's a fascinating thing. It's a fascinating look at miracles. Our rabbis tell us that miracles don't occur today because people don't believe in them. But if we really understood that this was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, if we really understood that the world is not as real as it seems, and every time we get up to pray, we're saying to God, I know that this looks real, and it looks like there's nothing else but what I see in front of me, but I believe that something is controlling this whole thing, and it can change it in a second. So prayer on every level allows us to take the ups and downs of this world and to use it to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remind ourselves. Now, remember that the source of this idea we saw way, way, way back is a fascinating idea in the Derech Hashem. The source of this whole paragraph is a piece from the Ramchal, which he quoted towards the beginning of the Sefer, which basically says that God wanted us down here. He wanted us to do our work to find him down here. But he knew that if we couldn't occasionally call, we'd forget what was real and what was fake. Every couple of hours, he says, just check in. Check in to remind you, to remind yourself that where you are is not as real as it seems. So I'm going to send you down there. But you have to keep calling home. You have to keep calling to check in. You have to keep calling to remember that it's more than it seems. Am Yisrael b'chol tla'ot hagluyot hagaluyot v'hachisurim yodea litfos umanut avotav. As Rashi says, I think in next week's parsha, that the people know how to take, this is our ancestors' trait, our parents' trait. This is the family business. The family business is tefila. Be'itot elu in these times, in these difficult times, ulehisha'en al kocha shel tefila. and to fall back on the power of tefillah. V'kach, kol yachid miYisrael, lefi tuchunotav v'shorash nishmato, every single individual, according to his strengths and his unique soul, yesh lo makom limtso et hagavan ha'ishi shelo b'tefillah. He hasn't really talked about this. Everyone has to, based on their circumstances, their soul, their personality, their upbringing, the circumstances they're in, they have to make a particular connection. They have to make a personal connection through tefillah. V'litzor kesher, to make a connection to God. Kurva udvekut beino l'boro. Right? To be able to use this. We have three avos. We're not supposed to go in the path of any one of the avos. We're supposed to draw. There are times where it seems like everything's chesed, times like din, times where it seems to be a combination of the two. Again, Rabbi Zinger, in his book on tefillah, Tikkun Tefillati, Rabbi Zinger from the yeshiva in the Gush. So Rav Zinger says that the sitter is a menu of opportunities. It's a great line. Tafrit, he says, the Hebrew word tafrit for a menu. It's a tafrit. When you open up the sitter, even if you're going to order a bunch of things on the menu, but you have to see it as different prayers to catch different moments, to catch different parts of our life, to make them significant, to connect them to Kadosh Baruch. Ha'ara b'siyumam shel dvarim. And now one note as he closes the third chapter and moves to the fourth. And this is mind-blowing what he ends with here. I hope I understand it, but it's mind-blowing. Gam ledea shetfilot keneged tmidin tiknum. He's giving you a little foreshadowing. We're now going to go into the chapter that we're going to look at sacrifices. We're going to look at korbanos. We're going to look at that third opinion that the prayers are modeled on the sacrifices. Even if we go there, and even as we step out of the avos, step out of morning, afternoon, and night, into the world of sacrifices, motzi'im anu hakbala le'inyanim shehizbaru b'marachazu. Just realize, he says, that we're only going to build on what we had before. We're not leaving the world of the avos and the times of the day and moving into the realm of the karbanos, because the karbanos also are about the times of day. Aren't they? Mm-hmm. Is anything more regimented in terms of the times of the day than the karbanos? Reb Yehuda says in the Zohar, Yalfinon Mishnei Kvasim Shebechol Yom. What does it mean that we base the tefillos on the sacrifices? It's the two sheep that we offer every day. Ha'echad mitkarev keneged midat ha'chesed, ha'sheni keneged midat ha'din. You thought there were two tamid sacrifices a day? The same question that we asked about the prayers. Why are there three prayers a day? Same question. Why are there two sacrifices? Why is it hakeves echad taseh baboker vehakeves hasheni taseh ben harbayim? Why does he insist, not that we bring two sacrifices a day, two korbanot, but why does he insist that one of the sacrifices be in the morning when the sun is rising? And why does he insist that the second one be bein harbayim, from the beginning of the setting of the sun till the end of the setting of the sun? Explains the Zohar. It's the same animal, same sacrifice, same procedure, pretty much the same Shmoneh Esrei in the morning and the afternoon. But says the Zohar, tells us a secret, that the morning sacrifice in the Mikdash was to relate to the Midas HaChesed of God. And the afternoon sacrifice was to relate to the Midas Adin. V'zot he lo made midiksiv ha'echad. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get this? That the morning sacrifice is about the Midas HaChesed of God? Because it says, ha'keves ha'echad. Okay, it says ha'echad. He says, ha'echad, hi hamida harishon midas ha'chesed, shiyesh ba'et inyan ha'achdus. He's going to explain this in a minute. We've run into this concept many times. What was the first thing God used when he created the world? The desire to create the world was based on his chesed. He wanted to give everything. He knew that if he gave us everything, we couldn't hold on to and it wouldn't be meaningful. So he brought in some din. He brought a counterbalance. What he explains is that chesed is the ultimate type of achdus. Why is chesed the ultimate type of achdus? Because when you're giving, remember, we said that chesed is not to give a lunch to somebody who's hungry. Chesed in a divine way is an outpouring of chesed that is unstopping. In fact, it's so much that we can't even do anything with it. We couldn't even handle it. It's just all of God. Remember, we said that chesed is from the giver. God wants to, so to speak, give. And he would totally overwhelm us if he gave us the way he wanted to give and the amount that he wanted to give. That's achdus. There's no dividing between that chesed. That chesed doesn't come in edible portions, in bite-sized pieces. God gives us a whole watermelon. We can't do anything with the whole watermelon. We can't swallow the whole. That's what midas ha-chesed is, achdus. Achdus is one piece. Have everything. Hasheni hu keneged midat hadin. In midat hadin, remember, midat hadin relates to the recipient. Midas ha-chesed is what I want to give. Midas hadin is what's coming to you, is what you need to get. Hasheni hu keneged midas hadin. The second thing is always din. The first thing is always rachamim. Sorry, is always chesed. God wants to give, wants to give, wants to give. But then almost, so to speak, he says, I need to curtail it. I need to give it to you in a bunch of pieces. I need to give it to you in a way that you can appreciate it. The morning, the first korban, the first tefillah, the first av is about just giving and giving and giving. The afternoon, the second tefillah, the second sacrifice that's given, that relates to the concept of din. Kafi shebiyom hasheni shel ma'aseh breishis lo ne'amar ki tov, shebo nivreis machlokes v'gehenem. It's a very deep idea. The first day of creation was modeled according to the Zohar after Chesed. Day one of creation. How many spheros are there? 10. Well, sort of. There's sort of 10. What number sphero? What are the first three spheros? Chesed, right? Chabad, right? Yeah. We don't really relate to that very much. How many are there once you get through those three? How many are left? 7. What's the first of the 7? Chesed. The next is Gvura. The first day of creation, this just endless light, was a day of chesed. The second day was created with din, was created with gevura. And that's why we don't have the phrase kitov on the second day, because it's hard, it's harsh. God has to push back on all the chesed. Kitov sheboni vres machlokes v'gehenem. Things start to split on that first day. And the Chazal tell us that Gehenna was created on that day. Hasheni haribui omeid b'midazu midas hadin. The second day is when you start getting things multiple pieces. Now, multiple pieces is good because we can digest multiple pieces. But multiple pieces doesn't reflect God in all of his glory. In order to make the world habitable, he had to have places of land and places of water. But the ultimate chesed is just throw everything at them. But we can't survive in such a place. The first day, God didn't create a place that was habitable. It was a place of endless light. Chesed, endless light. Second day is when you start to get that. Umin hasmol yavo haribui v'zet tavin mimash amur razal harotza lashir yatspin. Very deep idea. Very deep idea. Again, the right hand in the Kabbalah is always associated with chesed. The left hand is always associated with countering that. It's din. For those of you who stand in Shmoneh Esrei with your hands clasped, you're supposed to keep the right hand over the left hand, that we should have a little more chesed than we should have din. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Okay, we should have a little more chesed than we have din, okay? Why would the left side represent the north. The halacha is, if you want to get a lot of things, a lot of things, a lot of dollars, not just endless chesed, if you want to get a lot of dollars, you should face a little bit north when you daven. Why? What does the north have to do with your left? We usually associate your left with which direction? We usually associate left with west, right? That's because the way we orient the world today, in the modern world, if you look at a globe, the world is oriented north-south. The world is oriented, if you look at any map, any globe, it's oriented north-south. That is a new invention. In the time of Tanakh, in all the maps of that time of everything, it's clear that the world goes east-west. You face east. If you face east, what's on your left? The north. The left represents the gvura, dividing something into pieces so that you can have it, you can get it, you can hold on to it. The Gemara says that if you want to be wealthy, face the Beis HaMikdash, but turn your face a little bit to the north. Ki darom nikra yamin, your right is the south. Umemela tzafon hu small, and therefore the left is north. Umisham ha'osher shehu riboy hamamon. V'dover zeh muvan ki asmol hu atchalat ha'riboy, it's supposed to say. Ki hayamin ein shom riboy klal ki hu arishon. The right is the first. The Maharal says, those of you who have heard my Musaf Shir, I know I'm saying a lot today, but I want to finish. Those of you who heard my Musaf Shir, right? Musaf, plenty, is sponsored by the number Musaf of Shabbos. Musaf of Shabbos, which represents material plenty. What is Shabbos Day sponsored by? What number? The number two. Shnei Kvasim. Shnei Kvasim. Everything on Shabbos is two. Why? The Maharal explains that two is the beginning of expansion. Yeah, three and four is also expansion. One is Achdus. One is everything together. Two is the beginning of something that begins to come apart. On the one hand, it's not as beautiful as something that's together. On the other hand, it's something I can digest. It's something that I can have. It's something I can hold on to. Oh my God, he said a lot of things in a few seconds here. So the number one, the first day of creation, the first prayer of the day, the first Av, the character of the number one is all about endless chesed. And that's what we've been describing Shachris is about. Walking in the ways of Avram Avinu, someone who saw Kadosh Baruch Hu just as a Baal Chesed. The number two is a retraction of that. The number two, it starts to split. The number two is about din, things coming apart, machlokes, but it also gives us bite-sized pieces that we're able to somehow consume. What is this whole thing trying to tell us? That as we shift to Karbanos, we don't need to leave behind the previous chapters. There's a reason why there are two Karbanos during the day, because we said the two main ways of relating to Hashem is Chesed and Din. Keves Echad Baboker, Keves Hasheni Betzaharayim. And now look how he ends with this home run right here. Ah, you'll tell me, Rabbi, there are three prayers. There's only two sacrifices. So where are we even going to go with on the next chapter? We all know there's one sacrifice in the morning and there's one sacrifice at night. Who forgot Ma'ariv? What did we say night was? Night is a time where all that came in chesed and all that came in din is resolved, is made peace, is turned back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Night is when we take the bounty of the chesed and we can look back at the din. We bring everything together. We said, remember, the beginning of night is about din and the end of night is about chesed again, right? A night is a combination of the morning and the afternoon. The night is a time when all of those things, we say, as we go to sleep, we put everything back. We say, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for all these gifts. And now, you know, we hand them back to you as we go to sleep. What happens at the end of the day in the Beis HaMikdash? We take all of the sacrifices from that day. The sacrifice that was given in the morning. The sacrifice that was given in the afternoon. We take all the parts of the animal. We put them together. And we put them up on the Mizbeach and say, here, they're back for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you might tell me we only have two sacrifices a day. Why do we have three prayers? Because we said so beautifully, the night prayer is not introducing a new midah. It's bringing elements of the morning and elements of the afternoon. It's taking everything that we have and combining it and putting it together and seeing it with a certain perspective and then realizing that in the end, it all goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. Had there been three animals brought during the day, it would imply that there are really three fundamentally different ways of relating to Hashem. But we said that night, rachamim, mairiv, is really just a combining, a bringing together of chesed and balancing that chesed with din. So that's why there aren't three sacrifices during the day, because we said that the ikar midos are chesed and din. The ikar work was done by Avraham and Yitzchak. Yaakov's role was to figure out how to pull the pieces together, how to know when to rely on chesed and when to rely on din. And that's exactly what happens in the Beis HaMikdash at night. We take the chesed animal of the morning and the din animal of the afternoon, and we mix everything together, and we put it up on the Mizbeach, and we give it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happens when we daven Ma'ariv. Hu behekter chalovim veivarim shetfilas arvis kenegdam. The burning of the limbs and the fats, that is keneged arvis. Hitkabla hakbala brura. It's now clear what that is. Avodazu eina me'akevet. It's not a new necessary. Ma'ariv is a reshus, because really, the two things are out there already. Chesed has been created, din has been created. Ma'ariv isn't, so to speak, a completely different way of relating to Hashem. It's knowing when to pull on these two pieces. It's realizing that life is really about both, and they combine into one. Hi hashlamatam shel shtei avodos hayom. It brings together, it's the end, it's the closing, it's the bringing together of everything, shleimutam. Ba'avodazu nechlalim kol chelkei hakarbonos u'misaklim heim b'mbli shi'ishar eivir she'eno nitkan agabi mizbeach. All Ma'ariv does is it takes all the stuff from the day and makes sure that it's all there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'lefikach eivarim u'pedarim she'nisharu min ha'akrava. Therefore, the limbs and the fats and everything that we had that were left over from the day, shehaya b'yom makriv b'layla, we give it at night. Ribnei shehakol shav elak Hashem Yisparach. Exactly the same language we used in the shir the last few weeks. Everything goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad shehu echad ve'ein zulato. There's only Him. There's nothing else. We go to sleep. Every night when we go to sleep, we establish that God is the only thing that's real. Every night when we take all these things up on the Mizbeach, we say, it's all really yours. Vein zulasu v'zehu gemar ha'amada v'akrava. That's the end of the day. Ma'aral nesimah. V'hashvei, and compare this, l'mash nisbar b'midas halayla, compare this to everything that we just learned, and the midah of Yaakov, that everything is handed back to the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hitbonein b'chol zeh, ki, what's the last word? Ki kitzarnu. And now we're going to have to spend the whole chapter explaining the paragraph we just said. The coming attractions. This entire pattern, everything that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash is also based on these fundamental principles. It's amazing that when you understand tefillah, you understand so many of the pieces of the Torah and pieces of Judaism. So he gave us a one paragraph, two paragraph coming attractions for the next chapter. And he says, now I'm going to have to really explain to you what it means. So we will end there for tonight. And amidst Hashem, and I'm not exactly sure if we're going to get in and when we're going to get back, so I'll speak to everyone on the WhatsApp group to be able to map out the next year. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
I'm thinking that the